It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 427. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. Please leave me a voicemail. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Two great short voicemails in response to a problem I was having last week that I can't wait to play. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Facebook, send me a friend request or follow me, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And of course, we have the wiki at mtswiki.com. Tonight, I have a special sponsor just for tonight's show. And he happens to be in the chat. Taz Cools in the chat. Him and his partner have a computer repair shop in the greater Milwaukee County area and the surrounding counties. I've talked to Mike. He is very, very dedicated to what he does. He knows his stuff. He's been a big supporter of the Mike Tech Show and is always in the chat room and answering questions and helping others out. And that's what it's all about. And that's the PC Doctor. His staff, who's also a Mike, and Mike and Mike, is comprised of top-notch electronic troubleshooters and computer geeks with the knowledge and experience to solve tough problems and perform difficult repairs. A never-give-up attitude combined with a passion to serve their clients ensures that you get the very best service available, and it's backed up by the best warranties around. That's what you want. You have a virus, you have a problem, you want to take it to someone like that that's going to fix it and not just go redo the system, that they're going to clean it, fix it, done. I'm going to have a link to their website, and that's pcdoctorwi.com. The phone number, if you want to reach them, 888-976-8885. This will be in the show notes. You can contact them, and they could do some laptop repairs, maybe send them a system. You know, that's easy. Call them. See if they can work that out. If you mention the Mike Tech Show, 25% off any labor to the end of the year. That's a great buy if you have a problem. And if you're in anywhere in the Milwaukee area, this is the place. I want to thank them for sponsoring the Mike Tech Show. I have a jam-packed show consisting of your email and your voicemails. Next week's show is going to be dedicated to the stories in the trenches. Now, next week's show is not going to be live, but I'm going to record that and edit it. It'll be ready for next week. So even though I'm not around, there'll still be a show. Just won't be live. Give a listen first to this voicemail response. I talked about a problem last week of trying to talk someone remotely to just enter a URL, and it was so difficult, and it happened 5 different times during the week. And you know, it's happened again this week, but you know what, I was armed with the answer because of your emails and these two voicemails. Give a listen.
Hey Mike, this is Dwayne from Canada. I just wanted to respond to your episode last week about people not being able to search for the right address. I mean, they're putting in the wrong address. They're searching instead of putting the actual address in. My workaround for this is to get them to go to the start button on Windows. The start button either in Windows XP, they can go to start run, or they can click the start button in the search bar there. They just put in the address in there, put www For us, it's logmein123.com because we use the LogMeIn Rescue, and it skips the whole process of getting them to say, oh yeah, I'm putting it in the address, when they really are putting it in the search bar. So just take that part of it out of the loop, instead of trying to educate them to see where it is. I mean, you can try and educate them, say, hey, where are you at? Does it say Google on the page? Then you can say, okay, go up to the address bar and say, do you see Google in the bar at the very top of the window? What I want you to do is go there, delete everything there, and then type the address there. That's something. But instead of doing all that, just skip all that and take them right to start, run, and in the and or it or just start and search in Windows Vista and greater, and tell them to put the address there, www.logmein123.com, or any address you want them to go to. And they'll go right to the website. No fuss, no muss. Anyway, take care. Thanks for the show.
That was awesome. An elegant solution to what I thought was a complicated problem. But, you know, when it's right in front of you and it's simple, you can't think about it. Someone else has got to help you out and tell you. Well, that was great. And I want to, at the same time, and I got to admit, it wasn't Dwayne that was the first one to let me know that. It was Cliff, and that was Cliff Gilliam, who must have been in the chat last week, emailed me right away with that solution, and it's phenomenal. And I used it this week, and it helped me. Thank you. But we have another solution.
Hi, Mike. This is Corey Knapp from Port Jervis, New York, just sending you a message in regards to when you have a customer that's not able to open a website and ends up searching. You could have them use the Control-L command in Internet Explorer, Firefox, or Chrome. Then they can type in the website address. That works good. All right. Thanks so much. Talk to you later. Bye.
That's awesome. I love simple solutions to this. I love it. Love it. That's what this show's all about. I have some problems, or you have some problems, and we just get all of this response. And that's why I have a stack of email with responses. I forwarded this solution to Kate. Now, Kate responded, she's found once I actually can remote in, the people have the address bar hidden, especially in Firefox. Oh, by the way, a nice response is, why not email them the solution? And I can't even believe I didn't even think of that. I didn't know why, but my guess is that somewhere along the line, hiding all the toolbars and the address bar became the default view for Firefox. So I have them open Firefox and press the Alt key to display the menu bar. From there, I tell them to go to View Toolbar and click on the Navigation Toolbar. See, that's too much already right there. That displays the address box, and I can usually talk them through it. For IE, I just ask them if they can see two arrows on the top left of the window, one pointing left and the other pointing right. Then I ask them to tell me what they see in the white box just to the right of the second arrow. If it sounds like a URL, I tell them that's where I want them to type the website you want them to get to. Usually it works. For Chrome, I have a cheat sheet and I never use it. Kate, thank you. What's interesting is, now, just doing Control-L, that's just so easy. Or just have them type it in the start. I can't believe I didn't think of that. So, now, let's get into, and remember, you can always email them the link, but now they have to go get their email, click on it. One of the things I found, I'm trying to get people to go to miketechshow.instanthousecall.com, and I can't get them to go there because it's too complicated. You wouldn't believe how many people cannot even type Mike Tech Show. What I've decided to help myself out is I own the domain mhs.me. I am going to create a subdomain called help.mhs.me. Now remember, my company name is MHS Consulting. Having mhs.me, which is my initials, that's why when the .me domains came out, I was able to get a three-letter domain with my initials. That was awesome. I'm going to try to keep that forever. So I'm not leveraging that nice, quick, short URL. So I'm thinking of even going beyond that. So now adding help.mhs.me, that's easy to type. I truly believe that people that I'm talking to will be able to type that. I'll have a fighting chance of them getting there. Taz just mentioned tiny URLs. Now, I was thinking of that, but then that can get complicated in using. I don't want to be dedicated to someone else to rely on the kindness of strangers, to rely on, you know, tiny URL. Plus, something I found that I think Woot, someone wrote me, it might even be in here, Web of Trust does not trust tiny URL. So interesting. So you got to be careful. That might break. But I own my domain. And therefore, and what I'm trying to do is get you to think outside the box. Now that I've looked at this as a real problem, you know, they can't even type my domain name. So now all I have to do is have it forward that domain, help.mhs.me, go right to the website. It's what I do with mikenation.net. I do this with my Amazon link. That's why the link is amazon.mikenation.net, because I created a subdomain that automatically passes my Amazon code for you to use. So it's the same thing. That's why I started thinking, I got to leverage that more. That's a great way to leverage that very small domain name. Lots of responses that I'm going to go through on my request for the best internet radio. So let's go through some of these. The first one from Taz. Again, this is Mike. And he says, how about this? And it's Sea Crane Radios. And it's a very elegant, and it also has for many speakers. It's a very small looking, like an old-fashioned radio. And all these links will be in the show notes. Now, I really like this. Chris has recommended the Grace Digital Wireless Radio. Very, very nice. I really like this. And again, it's an elegant looking, like 1U high radio that can play internet. What we're looking for is a radio to play Pandora and Sirius XM and in a small device and have it be able to connect to speakers. I'm saving the elegant solution, which I'll explain, and he's not in the chat tonight. The person who just blew me away with the simple solution called me from his car. Kevin, Reliant in the chat. He has some great ones here, and we got Sangene and the Grace Digital Audio. So the Grace Digital Audio, I was looking at that, and I was even looking at that before I talked about this. Looks really, really nice. External music streaming device. This is from Dave, and he says, take a look at Logitech Squeeze Box. I use it for a police department music over PA system. This allows for wireless RJ45 Android app and also remote management. Tons of different web services allowed. I think this is the perfect solution for you as a standalone device and at only about $200. The Squeeze Box is an elegant solution, and that's by Logitech too. So it has some great reviews. The final suggestion was from Winston Wolf. He calls me up and says, Mike, I'm listening to your last show. I'm still in the car. He says, I can't believe you didn't recommend an iTouch. It's small. It's simple. It's elegant. It has all the apps for going to Pandora, Sirius XM Radio. And all we have to do is add that to a breakout box, which is small and inexpensive, that I use here in my own studio, and I didn't even think about this, that will go to multiple headsets. Well, they could be speakers. So all I got to do is go from the iTouch in its charging base or whatever, you know, it's how it's going to be connected. And something I have to ask, my client may actually have an iTouch. We're going to explore that first and see if that can. And then if not, then I'm going to start taking a look at some of these other recommendations, which is very cool having an appliance. Now, an iTouch is not cheap, you know, where a Squeeze Box is actually cheaper than an iTouch. So we're going to investigate this, but you came through with some tremendous recommendations, and I thank you so much. And I'll let you know which one we pick. This is a question on a Windows 8 upgrade license, and this is from Mad Marv. I'm looking to upgrade several computers in my office from Vista to Windows 8 Pro using Microsoft's $40 upgrade offer to Windows 8 Pro. And we have the link. I asked Microsoft reseller to look into this and see if he could beat the price. He came back to me and said that the license in the upgrade offer was for non-commercial use. This is or should be a Win 8 Pro license, not the basic Win 8, and should be licensed for commercial use. Have you or any of your listeners heard anything about this? I think my sales rep is blowing smoke up my you-know-what and is trying to get me to buy volume license unnecessarily. So I am asking all of you who are out there involved in the licensing of Microsoft operating systems, I unfortunately do not have an answer to this. If you are in this situation, is that $40 upgrade, is that true? It's for non-commercial? I don't remember seeing anything saying that. I think it's available to anyone. Could be wrong here. We need some clarification with this. And if you can email me or, you know, record a voicemail and send it to me, so I'll let everybody know. Marv, great question. Now, this is about the AT&T upgrade. He says, I heard you speak about the policy regarding getting your upgrade fee reversed if they did not do an iCloud restore in the AT&T store. The guy I spoke with did not know anything about this policy, but he gladly and very quickly reversed my upgrade fee charges plus tax anyway for being a loyal customer. Now, we only upgrade from the iPhone 3GS to the 4S, not the 5. So I didn't know if that was a policy pertaining to the 5 only or what. And I probably didn't know quite how to phrase it to the rep, but I'm happy anyway. And as I just got $80 off my bill and didn't have to argue for it, just shows that it never hurts to call and see if they will work with you. Just thought I'd pass it along and maybe you can shed more light on the policy. The policy does not address directly for an iPhone upgrade. It just says this fee was to help get you activated. Well, I extrapolate activation making me whole with all of my contacts, all of my information. You're looking at my interpretation dealt with an AT&T rep on the phone who agreed with my interpretation and refunded me last year. And I intend to do that again this year. But you have to wait until it hits the bill and then talk to the AT&T rep. And you want to know something? It doesn't hurt to call at any time you see a fee that just doesn't feel right. I don't care who you are, what you're doing, what the service is, whether it's Comcast, maybe it's an install fee, or Verizon, it's an install fee. If they charge you a fee that doesn't look right, that looks like they're just trying to pile on and make money, they're doing this because most people don't call and complain, they just pay the bill. Take the time. Push back a little. Be nice. Push back. Say, hey, what is this? Explain this. You know, boy, that doesn't seem fair. You know, and just talk to them. Even if you don't have a rational reason for having it removed. By being a good customer, they know that they can remove those things. I know. My son works for Comcast. He could remove the install charge. You just don't know how he's feeling that day. And that's how it could be. Literally, they charge things deliberately so you may not complain. And you'll pay it. It's a revenue stream. So I'm saying push back on these little fees so we don't get dinged with them. Stand up, push back, and you can save some money. And clearly, this was Josh. And thank you, Josh, for letting me know that it worked for you. These next three emails were out of order. And they are in response to the internet radio solution. And we have the Tangent Radio recommendation from Mike Allen. Curtis recommends the DMX from DMX.com. And you go /Pandora. And we have the link. And I'll put that in there in the show notes. And then we have a Wi-Fi radio from Paul. And that's the Grace Digital Audio. Again, another recommendation for that device. Paul, thank you very much. Next email. This is from Michael. Just made a donation. Keep up the good work. When I go on site to some home clients, Some of them don't have a wireless router because they only have one desktop with internet access in the house. They have a PPOE connection to their ISP. When they don't have a router, I make sure that whatever firewall they have, Windows firewall, etc., is enabled because they are pulling a public IP and directly connected to the internet. I usually recommend that they get a wireless router because, one, it provides an extra layer of security from the internet. I totally agree 100% with this. If they would get infected with malware, the malware could disable the firewall and expose them directly to the internet. Okay, but I really want that layer of NAT, which is network address translation, which you have to have with an internet connection. If they ever get another computer or have friends, family over, they could have internet access. Yep. And four, it might slightly speed up your computer because the router would be processing all the junk pings, ports, scans from the internet rather than the PC. I talked to three of our local ISP technicians today and asked them if they recommend to people to get a router in this situation. They said that they don't because they don't need it. These guys I talked to are the ones that pull cable and install the modems and possibly a router if they want it in the house. These guys don't have the networking background that I do. Exactly. When I'm talking to my clients and advise that they get a router, my most common response that I get is, the technician that was here said we don't need a router. There's also times that I think to myself, maybe the Windows firewall is good enough. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, I don't care about the Windows firewall. I care more about the router. I don't want to push a product that my clients don't need. Having said that, though, and knowing what I know, I'd never go without a router if I was one had a one desktop computer. I was wondering how you would handle a situation like this. Would you recommend a router? If they would or wouldn't, what would be your reasoning? If you got the response, the technician was here and said we didn't need a router. You're going to like my answer. How would you handle this? I have a good working relationship with our ISP. When people call them for computer help, they give my name and phone number. So I have to be delicate on how I reply and respond to my clients if I have to tell them that the ISP technicians are not completely right. Thanks, Michael. And I responded to Michael and said, carry a bunch of cheap routers. For a one computer house, $20, $30 router is fine. And put it in. And you explain to your client, your customer, that the technician is wrong. That's why there's multiple solutions out there. There's multiple people. There's nothing wrong with the technician. He's just wrong when it comes to internet security. He pulls cable, he installs, and he just doesn't have the working knowledge of the networking where you need a router for the security to protect yourself. He's wrong. And I have this router that's very inexpensive. I'm not just trying to sell this to you. I care and I want to protect you. And I want to make sure you're not calling me back unnecessarily where I'm going to have to charge you to fix things. Here, it's a one-time little cost that's going to protect you for a long time. So you got to be direct. You got to be forceful. Now, if they just absolutely put their foot down and say no, then say, okay, you'll be calling me back to help you fix, and I'm going to make more money this way. You don't want to be too flip, but you want to get your point across that you're looking out for their best interest now and in the future, and you're going to save them money in the long run. You got to put it in that kind of situation. I'm protecting you and I'm saving you money by doing this. You got to do it. You have to recommend putting a router in. I want someone to disagree with me because I'll take you on. This is something that I really truly believe in, that any bare internet connection where you're getting an IP address directly on a PC, that is a no-no. You absolutely have to put a device in between that machine and the public internet. I haven't heard back from Mike. Hopefully I will. Let's see how he made out. Now, this is from Luke. Forget when this was. Might have been Sunday morning. And he says, I was just listening to another great show from you, show 426, when you told us to use Mike Nation feed for the podcast. I'm sure you got an email about your logo on this feed a few shows back. I think I did. But you still have just got the generic WordPress logo, and it's been this way for a long time now. I'm a long-time listener and have not changed my feed for a long time now. So I finally took the time, went into some of the options of PowerPress, and I added my artwork for the podcast. So you now, if you subscribe to the Mike Nation feed, you will see it populated properly with the artwork for the show. Luke, thank you. That was the email that kind of pushed me over the edge. And I was sitting here Sunday morning, and I was just kind of relaxing, had some my coffee, and listening to some jazz from my SiriusXM account. And this email popped in, and I was like, that's it. I'm doing it. I made that happen. And then I emailed Luke back, and he tested it and pulled the feed and said, yes, I got it. So that was very cool. Thank you very much. This is from Gordon. Got some feedback and some misinformation. So feedback. Just finished listening to show 426. You asked how to get around people typing into the search bar of their browser. Wouldn't the easy way be to use a business email account and just email the person a link? Yes. That way, there is no typing and no wondering what browser you are using. Again, a great suggestion. You see a little theme here throughout the whole show on this topic. Now, misinformation. I am not sure when Malwarebytes changed it, but they do not do a 30-day trial anymore. It has been cut down to 14 days. Thanks for the great show. Cannot wait for more shows in my feeds. Gordon, wow, I didn't realize they cut that down to 14 days. It doesn't matter. You know why? Buy it. Malwarebytes Pro, one of the few free programs that I absolutely recommend. I recommend it so much. I'm an affiliate. There's a large affiliate ad on the left-hand side of my website. You click on that and buy Malwarebytes Pro. Anybody that I've had buy Malwarebytes Pro and have installed it, and also Carrie Holzman is 100% behind me on this. He's done the same thing. Anybody who has installed that, we have not seen them as a repeat customer for an infection. That's it. I have clients, business clients, that have bought multiple licenses and have installed it. No problems anymore. It's a great piece of software, at least for now. Let's hope they don't mess with it and make it and go crazy and do something bad with it. So right now, it's a thumbs up. And if you are buying it, hey, use my link. I'll get a commission for that. I really believe in the software. Got a great explanation here of a question from last week that I didn't have the answer. And it's the Microsoft Action Pack versus TechNet. Hi, Mike. I have been a listener to your excellent podcast for the past several years. I work for a value-added reseller that develops applications in a vertical manufacturing market. My main duties are designing, installing, and supporting Linux servers and workstations for clients and for internal use. Most of our applications run on Linux, but we have a couple of applications that we develop as well as we resell others that run on various versions of the Windows operating systems. We became a Microsoft partner around 15 years ago and used to receive versions of Windows Server and workstation operating systems through the Microsoft Developer Network. Microsoft then created the Microsoft Action Pack subscription, MAPS, that allows us early access to upcoming versions as well as the ability to use these versions for our internal production use. We receive a 10-user license pack for Windows OSs and Office Suite products. The number of Windows Server OS licenses are a bit less than that. MAPS costs us around $350 per year. Every year or so, I need to complete an online competency assessment. It is nothing more than a PowerPoint-like presentation with a short test afterwards. They require a 70% correct result on the test to pass. If you pay attention and take a few notes, it is not hard to pass the 10-question multiple-choice test. The information given during the action-packed course is very useful. They also offer other free courses as part of the partner network. In its simplest form, TechNet provides ISOs and not-for-resale evaluation licenses that works well for a computer tech to get early access to Microsoft products. This is what I use. MAPS provides ISOs and not-for-resale production licenses, as well as other business aids that work well for a business who wants to sell and support applications on Windows. For the person on episode 426 that asked about TechNet being bundled into MAPS, here is part of an email that I received last year from Microsoft that explains that subscribers of MAPS gets one subscription of TechNet. This is from Microsoft. TechNet benefits include evaluation software, including commercial, beta, and release candidate versions. Technical libraries, download technical library documents to your PC, exclusive knowledge-based portal access, manage your subscription, and access your benefits in one place. About TechNet subscriptions, gold and silver competency partners receive three subscriptions per organization. MAPS subscribers receive one. MAPS subscribers should visit the MAPS support page for more details. And if you have any questions or need support, call. Or actually, I'm going to give the email out. It's MPNSolve. So MPNSolve, S-O-L-V-E, at Microsoft.com. Important notice. The Microsoft Action Pack solution provider is a subscription exclusively for Microsoft registered partners enrolled in the Microsoft Partner Program and is only authorized to be purchased directly from Microsoft by those partners. Microsoft Action Pack solution provider may not be resold, transferred, or assigned to any third party. Hope that helps, and please keep up the great shows. And this is from Frank. Frank, thank you so much. I'm going to add one more comment. Since he mentioned you get 10 licenses for like certain Windows programs in Office, TechNet, I am very unhappy. They've reduced that to 3, and some only 1. I don't like that, where you only get 3 now. So I'm kind of upset at the reduction of the licenses that you now get in the TechNet Pro or TechNet subscription. And I think that's because of a lot of misuse. Since it is the full program, it's just a license issue that you're not supposed to use it for production, but the Action Pack you can use for your own production environment. Now, this is a request from a Paul who says, the guy who develops Pale Moon Browser needs a copy of Visual Studio 2012. Any thoughts on how he can get a reduced price for the software? I don't know if it's still available, but Microsoft used to have a site that if you were a student, you could get a full Visual Studio license and a lot more. Is that still available? I forget the website, and I may have to just search for this and I may find it. Now, the only requirement is that you had to have a .edu email that they can verify you. That might be a way that someone can help out the author of Pale Moon Browser. Windows updates across peer-to-peer network. I always listen to your show as well as Tech Vets when it appears. I have written to you on a couple of previous occasions and I've always gained something from your suggestions, or it has sparked me to think along another tangent. I do non-paid voluntary work for a local branch in Melbourne, Australia, of a worldwide self-help organization. Their only way of upgrading their computers is through donations from members or members' friends. I've managed to get their computers onto Windows 7, which they get at a substantially reduced price through a charity deal with Microsoft. We have seen PCs connected in a peer-to-peer network, and each has internet access with Windows updates turned on. to keep their download allowance under their ISP cap, I'm looking for a way of getting the Windows update to one PC and then either push or pull updates to the clients. This way, we only need to get these updates once and then distribute them internally. Any suggestions, any products, free or really cheap? Thanks in advance. Another Michael. Yes. As a matter of fact, WSUS, that's the official product from Microsoft that you could, if you have a server available, you could dedicate, depending on just how many clients you have here, where you could install it where this server will pull the updates. Now we have another place, which is just WSUS offline. And I'm going to have both links. Now the offline allows just an individual simply to just download this. You get this one program and you check off all of the updates that you want. And it downloads everything. And as soon as you run this against any machine, it updates everything. This is the ultimate solution. And if you have one machine that you can dedicate to be the host of this program and have everybody just connect to this, you can just easily run this. So if you want to have to manually run it from the workstation, that's a great solution. If you want it automatically pushed where you got to get into some group policies and Active Directory, and you can make your systems all be part of a domain that their update automatically goes to this WSUS server, a little more complicated to install, but again, the licensing is free for Microsoft to install this. Either solution. In a big corporate environment, they use WSUS. In small place, I recommend WSUS Offline Updater. Great program, great solution. This is a tip from Ken, and he says, on show 426, you talked about how to get the list of running apps on iOS. For Android, press and hold the button on the front of the phone, and all the apps will be shown. You can swipe individual apps to close, or click the remove all button to close all of the apps. Thanks for the great show, Mike. Ken from Toronto, Canada. Thank you. This is from Arnold about viruses. Hey, Mike, had a bad infection on a client's server this weekend. It was the Morto worm, and it was active and port scanning. In addition to that, a hacker, or maybe more, actually set up shop on my client's server and had mail harvesting tools installed. Long story short, ISP noticed client's IP port scanning port 3389 and notified the client. The hacker removed the Viper console and turned off the firewall. We removed the port forwarding to the server to prevent further attacks. The admin password was made stronger. Our AV never discovered, the antivirus never discovered it, and that's Viper by GFI, and neither did Malwarebytes or Super Anti Spyware. Had to task a Microsoft technical support to help remove this. The only tool that found it was Panda Active Scan Online. While that didn't remove it, at least it notified us. The tool Microsoft used to remove it was MSET. Not MRT, Microsoft Removal Tool, but Microsoft Security Scanner. The Microsoft tech claims it is by far better to use as it includes more definitions, and that's why it found it. Viper claims they didn't pick it up because it was a new variant. The tech copied the SHA-1 key and added it to their database. I am not sure, but I believe that, but what do I know? Oh, and the reason I never noticed this infection is because I am on a break-fix relationship with the client, so I am only called to make known repairs. This gives me a great opportunity to sell an MSP solution. If we were monitoring the server, we would have been notified that the AV was disabled, that the firewall was turned off, and it would be pushing out the Windows updates. These MSP also push Java and Adobe updates when they are available. It also includes premium Malwarebytes application. great way to take advantage of emergencies like that to explain to your client, had I been watching this all the time and at least checking once a week on your server, I would have discovered this earlier and we could have been more proactive, maybe even installing some automatic monitoring capability, like he mentioned, and having them buy that subscription and sell that as a service. That's something I don't even do right now that I really should be putting on an agent and then having automatic notifications to me from the servers that I support. I don't even do that. That's something I'm looking for, an inexpensive product that's reliable that I could put on servers and it's not going to kill my client in price, but yet will monitor me when different things are up or down. And I know there's a lot of software out there, and it's just I haven't had the time to actually investigate that. But this is a really good example of a way to extend your services, do a little more, be able to sell those services. That's it for the content for the show. And I have some music that I want to play. This is brand new from Pink, from her new CD that was just released. I really like this song. I want to play it. And then I'll be back to wrap up. That was Pink from her latest CD titled The Truth About Love. I will have a link where you can buy that from Amazon, or you can go to Pink's website. And here's a tip, and I noticed Pink did this. If you bought her CD, even the download version, the MP3s, you were rewarded with a pre-sale code to be able to buy tickets in your area for her tour, if she's coming by near you for this new tour. And I wanted to get tickets for my wife and I, so I purchased that. It was $9.99. I was able to get the full MP3s downloaded, and I received a code, and that code worked. And I was able to, and I think more artists are going to do this. Now, this pre-sale code was before her Facebook code, before fan club codes or whatever, and then a week before they were even going on sale. So it was nice to be able to secure some pretty good seats at a great price, and I was able to do that to be able to see Pink. So looking forward to that. I've never seen her, and she is a local product from the Philadelphia area, so that's great. I want to thank everybody for continuing to use my Amazon link, and that is amazon.mikenation.net, miketechshow.com/Amazon, and thank you so much for using those links and supporting the show. If you are in the area of the Milwaukee County, I want you to look up PC Doctors, and that's PCDoctorWI.com. Give Mike and Mike a call. See if they can help you out with your computers. That's it. Thank you very much, and I will talk to you, I was going to say same time, same channel next week, but next week's show is not going to be live, but I will have a show posted for you. Talk to you later.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.